Psalm 23. So good to see guests here with us today. I want to welcome you again and trust you'll be at home with us here at the Creek. And thank the Lord for that. Some of the Fortunato's family, good to see you here. Amelia's graduation and their family, good to see you guys. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be this morning, just in the very first part. Psalm 23. What animal has the reputation of being stubborn, stupid, and skittish? Sheep. That's exactly right. All of us. With the Lord's help, we're going to look and see how He Himself cares for those of us who are stupid, stubborn, and skittish. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do come to You now and trust that You, Spirit of God, would have control of my heart and my mind. And Lord, of every heart and mind present, I pray that You would be glorified. And I pray that, Lord, Your Word would have free course. Father, I pray that if there be a dear one here with us or more that has no peace in their life of eternal security, I'm asking God today that You would reveal to them their need to trust You as Savior. And Lord, I pray for the believers here today that they would be strengthened and encouraged in the great doctrine, Lord, of You being the great and good shepherd. So, Lord, have Your will and way now. We commit the service to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 23. I would probably say that if I were to ask someone today, just even out on the street, some random individual, but even especially a church member, what do you believe is the most familiar, most popular chapter in the Bible, or specifically the Old Testament? Without fail, you would probably get the response of Psalm 23. This is the one that you will hear often at funerals, or you will see it in a bulletin of some sort when there is a memorial service. And it's also one that you'll see often on the wall in homes or even places where there is great care being given medically and physically. Because one of the reasons that is, I believe, is because this chapter gives great comfort. And that's what I want to look at today, but we're not going to look at the whole chapter. I believe as we have been studying the names of God, we have so far, we have looked at Jehovah Jireh, found in Genesis 22. And then we also looked at Jehovah Rapha. And so we're going to look today at Jehovah Ra'ah. And that is the Lord, Jehovah, L-O-R-D, capital, is my shepherd. Let's notice there in verse 1 of chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I read the whole psalm here, the whole chapter, just to give us the context. But with the Lord's help, this is going to be the first of several messages about the name of God, Jehovah Ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd. This morning's message is entitled this, the heart of our shepherd. The heart of our shepherd specifically to save us. I want us to see, first of all, about this name here, specifically of God, is this comes from the Hebrew word that we have mentioned already, Ra'ah. It is used 173 times throughout the Old Testament. 75 times it is translated to feed. 63 times it is translated to shepherd. It is also translated in the context of pastoring, herdman, keeping, being a companion, and several other miscellaneous ways. But we see the overall theme of this word is to give care. And folks, I'm here to announce dogmatically and as boldly as I can, we have a God that cares. And His name is Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord, my shepherd. You see, there are many significant examples in the Word of God of shepherds. You remember who the first shepherd of the Word of God is. It was Abel, who provided the true sacrifice and the sufficient sacrifice for his sins. We also see examples through Abraham. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David, who penned this psalm through the power of the Holy Spirit, was a shepherd. We think of the minor prophet Amos was a shepherd. God has used shepherds throughout His Word to show to us and to demonstrate to us how important it is to understand that God Himself is a shepherd to His sheep. Psalm 23 gives us the beautiful depiction of a caring shepherd over his sheep. The author is David, who would know a thing or two about shepherding, since that was his main responsibility in life before God made him king of Israel. You see, in this psalm, David draws, we see that David states no less than 11 parallels between sheep and their shepherd. We're going to look at several of those in the coming weeks, but this morning I'm just going to look at one specific point. But specifically, David speaks of himself as a sheep with the Lord as his shepherd. You know, Jesus Christ Himself is given three shepherd titles in Scripture. Those are the Good Shepherd, found in John 10. We'll look at that here in just a moment. The other is the Great Shepherd, found in Hebrews, and also the Chief Shepherd. The Chief Shepherd, found in Peter. We know that our Lord declares boldly that He is a shepherd who cares, who loves, who gives Himself. And I do want us to dwell upon that point this morning. David, a shepherd himself, marvels at the heart of his Lord, who is indeed the greatest of all shepherds. I want us to see this point this morning and just want to draw some application to each. But number one, would you notice with me our shepherd's heart to save us? His heart to save us. Jehovah has a heart to save. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 23, that first phrase, those five words right there. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, before Jesus can be your shepherd, He must first be your Savior. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us to understand that and to meditate upon that. I know, I understand, I'm speaking to many believers this morning. But I never want to take for granted and to just assume that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as Savior. But it's obvious that David knew Jesus as Messiah and Savior in order to be able to call Him Shepherd. Would you notice with me Isaiah 53:6? I think we're going to put it up so you can look to it. But it says, all we That's all of humanity. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep. There's no one exempt from that title, because that is our nature. Because there are certain things that sheep do that we'll talk more about here in just a moment. But we're understanding here that God likens humanity to sheep. Notice with me Matthew 9:36. Jesus likened all the people that were in trouble and in need. Notice what he says. But when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Also, we see in Mark 6:34, another occasion, Jesus said pretty much the same thing as he looked upon out a group of people when it's the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having no shepherd, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, we are all like sheep. Sheep are animals of prey. And my friends, there's no doubt about it. Just as sheep are animals of prey, so is the human soul and the human life coming into this world. It is a prey to the wicked one. He's a devourer. He is a lion, likened to a lion in the Word of God, seeking about whom he might destroy and take out. He is the destroyer. That is a title of the wicked one. But God Almighty is seeking to reach the sheep of the world, to make them his own. Because there are only two types of sheep in the world. There are those that have embraced the great and good and glorious shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it is those who have rejected him who are still wandering around in this world in their sin. But the Lord is inviting all to trust him. You see, sheep are dependent completely upon their shepherd. Without fail, without exceptions, there are no exceptions to the rule. Sheep are dependent upon that shepherd. They trust him. They look to him. They need him for guidance. They need him for all these areas in life that we're going to see through this psalm. But the first one is to realize that they must choose the right shepherd. They need a shepherd to survive and to thrive. And I want us to see here, God, just as God likens humanity to sheep, God invites all to be His sheep. Now, I think with the psalmist, who am I that God would want me? That thou would visitest man, the psalmist said. Who am I that God would want me and you? What is so lovely and beautiful about us? Well, there's nothing in us that is attractive to God when we're born into this world, other than the very fact that we are souls for whom He died. And the very fact that He cares for us, not because of what we can offer Him, because I can't. I don't have any good thing in me to offer God Almighty, but the very fact that He is the good shepherd that loves me anyway. Hallelujah. What a shepherd. What a God. Would you go with me over to John 10, please? We're going to take a further look at the good shepherd and John in the Gospel of John. You go to your Old Testament and you got the fourth Gospel, the fourth book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you can go to John 10 with me. John 10. I'm going to read verses 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll read through several verses. Jesus teaching here, and he's going to teach about this doctrine of him being the good shepherd. And notice what he says, verily, verily, it means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this was a parable. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So Jesus is going to clarify for them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, what we have here, church, is Jesus declaring himself dogmatically as the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for the sheep. And he is inviting all to come to him and to trust him, first of all, as Savior, so that that individual can dogmatically say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not mom's shepherd, just mom's shepherd, not just dad's. He's not just the pastor's shepherd. He's not just this person's shepherd, but he is my shepherd. See, you got to look at the Psalm. No less than 11 times, David uses a personal pronoun, a personal pronoun there to identify himself with the Lord, declaring very clearly that he had made a personal decision to make the Lord Jehovah his Savior and his Shepherd. Notice with me in verses 26 through 29 of chapter 10. The Bible says, and here as Jesus is teaching them, verse 25, I'll start with verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Did you see how Jesus here is declaring that anybody that trusts Him as Savior, anybody that comes to Him and takes Him at His word and throws themselves at His mercy and trust in His salvation, the life that He gave, do you see that God Almighty is teaching here that He will then receive you, He will save you, and He will keep you for all eternity, never to be taken away from His eternal grip? You can't lose your salvation. No one can take it from you. You'll never be separated from God for all eternity. That's what kind of shepherd we have, a faithful shepherd. A trustworthy shepherd, a dependable shepherd, a shepherd who will keep the soul for all eternity. I think about that, friend. If you're here today and even as a believer and you're constantly doubting on what God has done for you, can you be reminded this morning of the doctrine of your God is the great and good and faithful shepherd? Can He not be trusted this morning to keep your soul? It's not about you. It's not about what you can do to preserve your salvation. It's all dependent upon your shepherd. And He's faithful. I don't have to go through life. And I'm thankful that even David realized that. And I'm not going to preach on that part of the verse this morning. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That basically is saying, I shall not lack anything. And I'm thankful this morning that I don't lack security in Christ this morning. I'm not living in fear, wondering whether I'll get in or not. I'm not living in fear this morning because of the things I did in my past. I'm not living in fear this morning about any of those things, but I shall not want because my soul is in the hands of the great and chief shepherd. Thank the Lord for Him. My friends, can you say this morning with confidence, the Lord is my shepherd? If you cannot with confidence say that, I want to say it very well could mean simply this. You need to first come to God and say, Lord, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And personalize that wonderful sacrifice that He fulfilled for you and me. Would you go with me over to the book of Luke? Just flip back one book and go over to Luke 15. Luke 15. Let me give you the context here. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and He's teaching them some things about His mission and His purpose there as God in the flesh, as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to give three parables. I'm going on to only read one here because we don't have time to go into all the others. But notice with me here in verse 1 of Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Jesus loved to communicate and reach publicans and sinners. That's why He came, for people like you and me. But then verses 2. You had a self-righteous crowd by the name of Pharisees. And it says here, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. They kind of whispered to themselves. That idea of murmuring is kind of talking under your breath. If you can imagine these guys whispering to themselves, look at Jesus over there with those sinners, with those publicans. What's He doing? That's the idea here, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, Jesus is responding to their murmuring. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, He's using again the illustration of shepherding, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Do you see the conclusions that Jesus is drawing here, church? You see the beautiful picture that Jesus Christ just drew for these Pharisees and He's drawing for us today? He's speaking of the fact that there are many that have believed. The sheep have believed. And He's not saying that the ones that have believed aren't as important as ones that haven't, because they are. But in a different context, He's making a parallel that these Pharisees can relate to. And that's going and finding a lost sheep. They can relate with that. They would say, yes, we would go find that one. He said, well, He is teaching them, that is what I am doing. And going to find lost sinners. The lost sheep. He's going after them as a good shepherd. He's not a careless. He's not an apathetic shepherd. He's coming after you. And He's coming after those that have not believed in the gospel. I think of the fact that I can remember when Jesus came after me I was a lost sheep. I was wandering around, and at the time of season of my life, I happened to be in my early 20s, and I had been wandering as a lost sheep for many years. And when the Good Shepherd came after me, I can recall that in my life. Some of you, He came to you when you were in a Christian home. Perhaps you were younger. Everybody has a different season of life where the Good Shepherd came after you. But my point is this morning, can you at least recall a time that you did respond to the Good Shepherd? That you did come to Him and realize that He was calling you to be saved. And I find it interesting that the very fact that when the shepherd found the sheep, He picked him up. Have you ever meditated on that? He picked him up and put him on His shoulders. I think about what the Lord may be teaching us in many ways about that. You know, I think about the doctrine of the cross, the sacrifice of Christ. He just didn't. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's an element here. Jesus just didn't take away my sins, church. He took on my sins. Jesus just didn't take them away, and He did. They are all gone. But my friends, it goes even deeper than that. Jesus bore my sins. He took them upon His body, His shoulders and His brow, His hands and His feet as He laid Himself upon the cross of Calvary and He gave Himself. No man took it from Him. He gave it, I think, of the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. But I see the sheep, He put it up on His shoulder. The idea, too, gives the idea this sheep was broken. He needed help. He needed to be picked up. He needed to be taken back to the fold. And my friend, I may be speaking to someone here today, and God is seeking to get you to trust Him as Savior. You're not finding any peace in life. You're searching, you're looking, you're wondering, you're not sure what's going on. You find stubbornness in your heart. You find fear in your heart. You find mixed emotions. Can I tell you, it just might be that the Good Shepherd is calling your name. And the very fact, if He is, you should hear His voice. He says, "My sheep, hear My voice." And I hope you hear a voice of love. A voice of saying, "I am come to save you." The Bible says that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn you. He's not yelling out, you wretched sinner. You should already know that. I know that. The Bible says Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I love the very fact that, yes, we must realize we're lost and in our sin, but Jesus' message to this lost world is salvation. Be delivered. Redemption. Trust Me as your Savior. And that, my friends, God will fulfill His promise. And then I love the fact of the rejoicing. You know, we ought to get excited when people get saved. Really should. Get real excited. Happy. Joyful. Shouting excited. Wonderfully excited. Hearts thrilled excited. Life-changing exciting. The angels in heaven rejoice more over that one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, some churches you can go through that you don't even hear the message of salvation. You don't hear of people coming to know Christ. My friends, mark it down. That is a church that has grown icicle cold in their hearts. And we, as God's people and Crooked Creek Baptist Church, may God have mercy on us if we ever stop getting excited about people being born again. And that's the heart of the Good Shepherd. And if the angels are going to rejoice, oh, my friends, there better be some Baptists getting excited about people getting saved. And here's one thing that really is a mystery in my mind is the angels rejoice in that way. But you know what? The angels can't even relate with us. They are created beings. They were created perfect. And yes, there were a third of the angels' host. We don't know how many were fallen, and they fell away from God and went with Lucifer, who's Satan. But the others, they're created beings. They're perfect, and they don't know what it means to be redeemed. But yet they're rejoicing. How much more shall God's people who have been redeemed? My friends, when it's time for you to make this decision, I want to tell you right now, there's going to be rejoicing in heaven. You know it from the Word of God. Jesus said it. But not only that, there is going to be rejoicing in my heart and in the heart of this church. And I hope you hear me, friend. I hope nobody here would ever be reserved in getting saved and coming to Christ as your good shepherd and Savior because you were afraid of what people would think of you. That is a lie from Satan. We know that there is rejoicing in heaven and there is rejoicing in earth because when a sheep is found and Jesus Christ lifts that one up through salvation and brings them to the fold, we know there is great reason for rejoicing. Let me ask you this. Today, can you say with confidence, the Lord is my Savior. And if you can say that with confidence, rejoice. Because you can also say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's faithful. But if you cannot say here this morning with confidence, the Lord is my Savior. And you put your name right there. Make it personal. If you can't do that today, can I implore you? Can I urge you, exhort you, can I beg you to come to the Good Shepherd today and trust Him as your loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Would you bow your heads with me, please?